What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Would anybody do that? If your son came and asked for bread, would he give him a stone? Absolutely not. And so we know, or if he asked for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is generous. God is more generous than you know. More generous than I know, because he has good gifts to give to us. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you know how rich you are? Do you understand how rich you are if you have Christ? You have everything. Everything that matters, you have. And if you're a Christian today, you already have it. But maybe the presents are still under the tree. I can assure you, when you got 8 kids waiting to open up presents, they didn't stay under the tree for long. It was pandemonium. Right? We weren't that an organized bunch. You know, sometimes you go, everybody's organized, one gift at a time. And I think it was more like the Wild West. But are you leaving the presents under the tree? Do you know what you have? But let's think about it this way too. In the Word of God, there is one present that unwraps all, that makes all the other ones available. And that present is here. If you haven't got this present, then you can't open all the other ones. Okay? So make sure you have this one first. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This present is Jesus Christ himself. Have you received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Have you? If you haven't, I'm sorry, no more presents for you. You're getting coal in your stocking. You don't want that, though. You want to be certain that you have personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please don't say, I'm a churchgoer. That's not what I'm saying. You can go to church and still not have Jesus. Don't say, I try to be a good person. That will not cut it. You need to be certain that you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't, doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. All the other presents are staying under the tree. Don't go there. Instead, embrace this one present, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then everything else becomes available. God is a giver, but he has given. He has already given and given and given. And he has given through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we can say the greatest present that God has given to the world is that God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son. What a gift. And that is what we express and see around the Christmas story, that God gave his Son. God gave his Son to us. And friends, can you grab this today for yourself, that God gave his Son to you? Yes, to you. And that he willingly gave his Son up. That he gave his Son to come to this world and to go through all that he did and to eventually die on that cross for you. And he offers it to you and he says, here, have my Son. Take the eternal life that he offers. Why wouldn't anybody, you would say, but yet many resist. Many think they're not worthy of such a gift. And they're right. We're not, but he gives it anyway. Many might think that, no, that wouldn't be enough. I couldn't be sure of heaven. I couldn't be sure I'm saved just because Jesus died on the cross for me. Why couldn't you be sure? Didn't he do enough? Are you saying that the Son of God's present isn't good enough? Is that what you're saying? I mean, let's say a husband and wife, you know, the husband gives a gift. And the first thing when the husband gives it to her, he works really hard at finding presents because he finds it really hard to shop, like me. And I can remember, I think it was the first Christmas with Marie way back. And I never really liked jewelry. I had not the concept of what jewelry was or wasn't. It's so foreign to me, and it still is, that I'm just out in la-la land. So It was getting closer to Christmas, and I was scratching. I knew what to do. What to do? So I went down to a store. It was more. I think it was a pawn shop because I was busted broke. And of course, we weren't even Christians at that time. But I had $10, and I went and I said, I need it. I had a present for my girlfriend. What do you got? And he said. So the guy, I think. He said, oh, I got a sucker here. He says he took the ugliest piece of jewelry in the shop, and he said, this is beautiful. And I didn't know the difference. So I got this bracelet. I'd say it probably weighed about 4 pounds. It was about that wide, and I think it was made of lead. And anyway, oh, yeah, that's good. Beautiful. Wrapped her up. I brought it. So this was a hair, Marie. I got something for you. Oh, nice. Oh, that's good. So she opens it up. And she couldn't hide her disappointment. So she actually put it on her wrist and she goes, I don't think I can wear this. So me and Christmas gifts, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But God's gift is real and precious. He knows just what to give because he knows just what you need. And isn't it so sometimes when you're thinking about, well, what can I get for that person? You start trying to figure out, what do they really need? As Heather saw me running in the snowbank with my sneakers yesterday, which I do, I admit, I hate them. Because I hate putting on boots and then going to shoes. She says, don't you need a pair of boots? And I thought, uh-oh, here it goes. So, you know that... We want to kind of find out, well, what can I get for that person that I know that they need and I know it's something they're going to enjoy? And so you start trying to figure it out, right? God has you figured out. He knows what you need better than you know yourself. God knows you need a Savior. God knows that you're a sinner. God knows that you're under judgment. God knows that hell will be waiting for you if you don't have a Savior. And so what does He do? He gives His Son. He gives the very best that He could give. And sometimes we can make sacrifices to give something to somebody. And sometimes that's, you know, there's those, that beautiful story. It was one about the girl that gave up her hair to buy something for the boy. Remember? I can't remember what it was. But sometimes we make those kinds of sacrifices where we give away. We make great sacrifice to give something to somebody else. But this is the greatest sacrifice that could ever be made. God so loved you that He gave His Son. This is the greatest gift, friends. But the question I want to ask you, and I want you to know this for sure, have you received the Son? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you opened this present? If you have not opened this present, you can open it today. Please, don't go another day without it, because it is the greatest gift that you could ever receive. That is how generous God is. He sent His Son. Not only did He give us His Son, but the product of giving His Son is that He gives us eternal life. Eternal life. Can you tell me how long eternal life is for? Forever. It's forever. If it wasn't forever, it wouldn't be eternal. Am I right? Does that make sense? He gives us eternal life. What a present that is. What does that mean? That I'm going to live forever with God. Because He describes eternal life as being with the Father. In John 17, it says, this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and His Son, Jesus Christ. These are the words of Jesus. Eternal life is eternal union with God forever. What a gift. What a gift to be able to lay your head on the pillow at night and know, I'm going to heaven when I die. It's a certainty. How do I know such a thing? How could I be so bold to declare, I am certain of heaven? Because Jesus promised it. Because Jesus said these very words. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. It says have. Yeah, have it. You can have eternal life. You don't have to wait till you die to get eternal life. You get it when you believe in Him. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Not hope to have it, but have it, and have it now. My eternal life started the moment I put my faith in Jesus Christ in 1978. And Marie started in the same year. And she came to faith in Jesus Christ about 2 or 3 months after me. And there was no question in our minds for all of these years that we have eternal life. And there's no question in my mind that she has eternal life. And there's no question that we'll be together again someday. Not as a married couple, because that's not what goes on in heaven. We already talked about that a few weeks ago. But eternal life is yours in Jesus Christ. Do you have it? Do you have it for sure? Have you received eternal life? If that hasn't happened, start there, friends, because the rest of it, you can only look at it from a distance. You can't open up the rest. Not the fullness of it, friends, unless you get this present first. Have Jesus Christ, who gives eternal life. How wonderful that is. You see, here's what it says. Whoever believes in him is what?
Condemned.
Not what?
Condemned.
Not condemned. Isn't that nice? What a promise. Whoever does not believe stands what?
Condemned
already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Why? Already condemned. Jesus didn't come into the world. He said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn you. You're already condemned. You're already lost. He came to save. But if you trust him, then you're not saved. You're not lost. You are good to go. What other gifts does he offer to you? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Think. Think of your sin. And if you're so arrogant to think that maybe your religion and trying to live a pretty good life, that you're not that bad a sinner, then you're fooling yourself. If all your sins are going to be held against you on the day of judgment, you will be lost. You will be condemned. Because one sin is enough for you to be lost forever. Just one. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin, singular, is death. And the Bible describes that death, the spiritual death, the second death, which is called the lake of fire, in the book of Revelation chapter 20. So one sin's enough to condemn you, but one Savior's enough to save you. Isn't that wonderful? Because what did he do? He died for our sins. He suffered for our sins. The Bible says, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Acts 10:43, as Peter is preaching in the home of Cornelius, he says this, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, the name of Jesus, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins. Whoever believes. Now that means to trust. That doesn't mean to know that he's real. That means that you put all your hope in Jesus, nowhere else. That you're trusting him. And that's how you receive him, by trusting him. It is by faith. It is by saying, okay, Lord, I'm taking you at your word. You died for my sins. My sins are forgiven. You can boldly say, my sins are forgiven because you died for them. Boldly you can say that. And it's by faith. It's that step of faith to say, I'm taking God at his word. Is he a liar? Is God a liar? No, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And that's the truth. We've all told at least one. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes. This is the Apostle Paul, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking to Paul and saying, hey, Paul, I've got a job for you to do. Here's what it is. I'm going to send you out, and I'm going to send you to preach to the Gentiles, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive, what? The forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. He says, I'm going to send you so people's eyes are open, they can see the truth. And so that it will turn from the darkness and then turn to the light. Turn away from sin and from the power of Satan to God. These are all real aspects here. The power of Satan is real, friends. We've all experienced it in our lives. But it turns us from the power of Satan to God so that we receive the forgiveness of our sins. And then it says we get an inheritance. Wow. You ever get a letter in the mail saying you have an inheritance? Some of you may have. I've never gotten one. But an inheritance. I bet you your interest would be piqued if suddenly a letter showed in the mail from a lawyer saying, you've received an inheritance from a long-lost relative. Would you throw it away? Or would you read the rest of the letter? Huh? You would read the rest of the letter. It's a crazy thing that God says we can have this inheritance that comes from Jesus Christ, and people throw away the letter. that is the Bible. Man, I'd want to read all the fine print and find out what my inheritance is, wouldn't I? Well, read the fine print. The Bible, the whole of the Word of God, is full of the riches of the inheritance that God has for His people who trust in Him. And nobody's reading it. Well, I say nobody, but most people are not reading it. They're not finding out who this generous God is, who has left us a will, which is the New Testament. Did you know that? The New Testament means a new will. That's what it actually means. And in order for there to be a will, there has to be a what? Anybody?
Death.
A death. Ha ha! Oh boy, you guys are smart, right? In order to be a will, somebody has to die. And somebody died, and the New Testament is really the will of Jesus Christ that He has left for those who will put their faith in Him. You get this wonderful inheritance that He's offering to you, and you can have it. So how amazing is that? How incredible that is, that God offers to us this wonderful inheritance by faith in Jesus Christ. An inheritance that says, you have the Son. Whoever has the Son of God has eternal life. An inheritance that says, I have eternal life. An inheritance that tells us that our sins are forgiven. If that's all you got, that would be a far more wealthy inheritance than anything you could find in this world. You could chase all the money of the world, and you would have nothing compared to one of these things. Look at this inheritance. No guilt. No guilt. Is there things in your life you feel guilty for? Scratching into your past? You would never want anybody to know. But God already knows. And sometimes we can feel shame and guilt over our behavior at certain times in our experience. Sometimes we can wonder, could I ever be forgiven for that? I mean really forgiven. So that I won't have to feel guilty for it. There is therefore now no condemnation. That means no judgment on you, no guilt on you for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. He took your guilt. He took your sin. He took your shame. Have you opened that gift? Guilt has paralyzed so many people in our cultures today. They are constantly feeling guilty. They haven't done enough. They haven't said enough. They're constantly, and they are running to find help everywhere, and they're not getting it. Not all the psychiatrists and psychologists in the world can take away the sense of guilt and shame that we experience in our lives. Sometimes it's false guilt because of things that some people have done to us. Sometimes it's real guilt because we're the ones that have done it to others. But God can forgive. And He can take away the guilt and the shame of it. And lo and behold, He can make things better. I wasn't a nice boy. I admit that. I was a bully in school. There was one particular girl in the class that I bullied. And I don't speak this out of glory. I speak this out of shame. And once I became a Christian, suddenly I saw. Before that, I didn't care. I didn't care who I hurt. But when I became a Christian, suddenly God began to show me how many people that I had hurt. And I went about trying to make amends and going to see people. This one girl had moved away, hadn't seen her, didn't know where she was. But then one day I heard that she was in a visiting home in the community, and I went looking for her to apologize to her for my behavior. Now, at first it didn't look like, you know, I didn't know whether she was going to forgive me or not, because I wasn't asking her to actually do it. I just wanted her to know that I was very sorry for what I had done. I wanted her to know that. Whether she forgave me or not, I was fine with it if she didn't. But I can tell you this, I knew without a doubt that God had forgiven me. That doesn't mean I don't try to make amends where I can. But I knew that I was forgiven by God. I knew that the guilt and the shame was gone. And it's come to pass that we are now good friends. There's no more. There's no wall there anymore. That I have been forgiven. And it's beautiful. That's what life's all about. How many people are carrying around guilt and shame, and how many people are full of recrimination towards each other where there's no reconciliation? How many families are split where there's just people just don't get along. And there's a lot of hatred and bitterness and strife. No guilt. No guilt. Jesus sets us free from living in that place. What else does he bring? What's under the tree? Comfort. We talked about some of the things that he takes away. He takes away our sin. He takes away our shame. But look, he brings comfort. You know what it says in 2 Corinthians 1:3? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what?
All comfort.
Of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. Oh, friends. Tribulation comes, doesn't it? Trials come. Deep waters we pass through. Don't you want the comfort of God? Don't you want the fullness of that comfort? Now, he's gracious to the world, there's no question. And he often gives comfort, even if we don't deserve comfort. But I want the fullness of his comfort. And I can tell you this, I've experienced the fullness of his comfort. I've experienced it in the middle of sorrow and trial and trouble. And he has been there, and he's been a great comfort to me. And I bless the Lord for that. And I'm overwhelmed at the comfort of God. I'm overwhelmed at the comfort of God that he would create this love in my life now. That's comfort from God. That's part of his comfort. That's where he comes from. He's the source of all comfort. He says he comforts us in all our tribulation so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. And the word, the whole verses are full of comfort. It says God delights to bring comfort into your life so that you can then turn when somebody else is suffering, you can comfort them with the comfort that you receive from God. He's so generous that he says the whole purpose of all of this blessing being pouring into your life is so that you become so filled up with it, it just pours out there to other people. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord, that's God. You know, the greatest gift that he offers on top of all of this and why all this works is because he gave himself. In John 14:16, Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus speaking to those who had believed in him, he says, listen, you're not going to get shortchanged. Yes, I'm going to the cross. Yes, I'm not going to be hanging around. I'm going to be going with the Father. Yes, but I'm not leaving you orphans. Even if I'm going to go, I'm going to send somebody else. Who's he sending? To be with you. Not only with you, but he shall be in you. You see that? In you. He says, I'm going to send somebody to be in you. Who is it? Who's that?
Jesus.
It's God. It's God. Man, that's a pretty good gift. God himself. God says, I'm not going to shortchange you. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm not going to leave you stranded here. You know, you can think about yourself. You can say, I'm not worthy of this. I'm a failure. I've sinned. You don't know all the stuff I've done. Right? You don't know what a terrible sinner I am. Oh, God already knows. And he died for every one of them. And he took the punishment for them all. He paid the price in full. He cried it out at the cross. It is finished, which really, literally means paid in full. He stamped it on, it'll stamp it on any life that says, okay, Jesus, I accept. He stamps it on your life. Paid in full. Done for. Never mind your past. It's over. I paid it all. Never mind the shame. I took it all. Hallelujah. What a Savior he is. And on top of that, I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to be with you. And on top of that, I'm going to come inside of you. Yes, messy old you. I'm going to come and stay inside of you. I will abide with you forever. He may abide with you forever. That's what it says. I'll come on the inside and I'm never going to leave you. And I will be with you in every trial, in every circumstance. No matter how deep the valley, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm quoting the Bible. And it's good. I'm reading the will. Are you listening? I mean, think if suddenly all of us were and got an inheritance from the same person and you were all invited, called up by our lawyers and said, we're having a meeting, we're going to reveal what's in the will. Well, we'd all be here with our ears toned, wouldn't we? Well, I'm reading the will. It's exactly what has happened. God has written a will for the world. And he's saying, here's what's in it. Praise the Lord. He's given himself. And oh, listen to the, look at the gifts that he brings. Look at this. His character. He brings character to us. In 1 John 3:1, it says this, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us, because it did not know him." So those who trust in Jesus Christ become called the children of God. The world doesn't understand that. Doesn't know it, because it didn't know Jesus. The world rejected Jesus. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He will make us like Jesus. He will change your character to be the character of God. Here, as it speaks about the working of the law, when somebody turns to the Lord, it said in the Old Testament, it was like there was a veil. It was like there was a curtain between people and God. They couldn't see God clearly because of their sin. And the law didn't help the matter because the law showed them more that they were sinners. It couldn't fix them. And so he says this, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." It's gone. And what happens? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Oh, that's part and parcel of one of the gifts of God, is the freedom that we have. But we all, with unveiled face, now we behold as in a mirror, as looking in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. This is an incredible gift, because he's saying, as you see salvation, as you see Jesus, as you see him with eyes of faith, you begin to become like him. You begin to be transformed. You begin to be changed. Great change comes when we let Jesus Christ live. He transforms us into the same image. Look, it's what it says, transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That means, whoa, on top, and more, God makes you more like Jesus. We need more people like Jesus around, don't we? Wouldn't you say? Let's start with you. It's his gift to you. It's one of the gifts that are under the tree. As you can just come up and say, "Okay, God, I wanna know you. I wanna sink into the truth and fall in love with you, asking and receiving, seeking and finding, knocking and the door is opening, because he gives good gifts to his children." Praise the Lord. Look at what he offers to you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is his character. What does he want you to be? He wants you to be full of love. He wants you to be absolutely full and overflowing with love. Are you? Is there bitterness in your soul? Is there an unforgiving heart? Are you captured by